And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, with a big shout out to Squamish, to New York, to Long Beach, California, double New York, of course, East Side, West Side. Hey, I got a couple of dancers in here. I better be careful what I say. They'll jump up and start tap dancing if I'm not careful, right? Okay, it is time for Arts Live and Local. Today is a special show. They all are because I have fabulous guests. However, there's something else going on today, and you know what it is. It is Pledge Drive. And that means that we're going to need you to be calling in. The more you call, the faster you call, get your pledges in, the more I can focus on my guests and not have to, you know, beg and plead. Arts Live and Local, we have a big goal, but we can do it. And very, very special, we have a challenge grant. We have a challenge grant of $300.
What?
Yeah. And it's all from Kim Angelus Music. And so Kim Angelus is one of our programmers. She's a world-class violinist. She is a fabulous human being. And she's also a dog agility person, of course, with Ramona. And a big thanks goes out to her. But even though we love her, we want to take her money as soon as we can. Let's call it what it is. That's why she gave it, so we would take it. So please give us a call, 503-325-0010. And let me let you know some business. But first, do you guys want to give a shout-out? What number do people have to call?
503-325-0010.
Yahoo! That should be a very familiar voice. The other voice is going to be less familiar. So we're going to hold him for a minute and we'll introduce him. Thank you so much to all of you for tuning in, to all of our supporters, to everyone who's called in. This drive is going really, really well, and we want it to go even better. And so I want to start out with some music, because you also know that today, being March 8th, is International Women's Day.
Yes.
Woo!
Let's have a opening up from Summer Osborne.
I love her.
Yeah.
I see a revolution, a transformation of our time. All the things that used to be unthinkable are now turning into rights. And soon we'll see the ink change and dry, including every single one of us. One by one by one, we are crossing over lines. And one by one by one, we are changing people's minds. And it's due to being relentless, and it's because we believe that change is coming for us. And you bet that we won't leave until we stand up where they can see us. Stand, together we can't fail. Stand, I bet they can hear us coming. It's rise or fall, God help them all. And they lead us hand in hand, but you have got to stand.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to stand. And we are standing. And we are so happy that you are all standing with us at 503-325-0010 or coastradio.org or... yeah, I think that's how you pledge. Or just come on by.
Come say hi.
Yeah, come say
hi. It's always
hi.
Fun stopping in the station.
It sure is, especially on this show, because I always have fabulous people, and there's a whole bunch of guests out there, plus our phone answerers, plus Marianne's food.
Oh, my God.
Well, I want to put on some music that is connected with my guests coming up, and then they'll tell you what's happening. I have one word for you, though, and that is enigmatic.
Enigmatic.
Oh my God.
Dance it
out. Absolutely. There is no way anybody's going to be able to sit still.
No.
Which I guess that's part of the idea. The show is enigmatic. You may have seen it on the cover of the Coast Weekend. And I want to know about that photograph, too, because it's quite a fantastic piece.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't even know what you're looking at. When it's tiny, it's like, what are those very exciting, frenetic kind of movements? So, you know what? Before I give it over to them, though, I have to give a thank you, because we do have a couple of donations. I guess that ringing telephone on the music must have got... We have a big thank you to, I think, someone that you know quite well, Marco Davis, Janet from Astoria.
Oh, yes.
The person who brought you and me together.
Yes.
What did we say, 30-some years ago?
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, in 1984, 85.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you so much to Janet
from
Astoria.
Thank you, Janet.
And then we also have Jackie from Astoria. I'm not sure who Jackie is, but thank you so much
thank you,
calling in or walking in or however you're donating. Don't forget, it's up to you, and the more you do it now, the less I'll be talking. 503-325-0010. Well, that's not true. You can never shut me up. But
seriously.
But as far as...
Same girl, same.
See, there we go.
Yeah,
we're going to see if we can get you shut up.
We're gonna talk art rather than money.
Yes.
Much better. So, Marco Davis. Yes, but Marco is kind of a support person on this one.
Yeah.
You're performing, aren't you?
I am.
Okay.
Well, Daylight is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Daylight. Your alter ego. But the main guest right now, who have you ever been on this show before?
I haven't.
Have you ever been on KMUN before?
He's a virgin.
I know, right?
Have you ever been on radio before?
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have a KMUN Arts Live and Local virgin. Nate Boozer is here.
Hey, let's get it.
It's so exciting. he's with Work Dance Company from Eugene. So do you still live in Eugene?
I do, yes.
Okay, that's a long way to come. Okay,
right?
And you have a show
at
the Liberty Theater tomorrow evening, the 9th of March at 7:30 p.m. It's called Enigmatic, a Dance Extravaganza. And my understanding is that you've got lots of local folks joining you.
Yes, yes.
So welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome,
thank you for having me.
You bet. I have been excited about this. I'm not even sure what it is, but putting that music on got me.
Yes, yeah. That mission accomplished.
So what's the story? And then we're going to get back to how Nate and Marco met 100 years ago.
Yes.
Which... You know, I love life going in spirals. Mm-hmm. And since you met because of dance, and you and I are part of dance history.
No, it's all that
Nate,
family.
You and I are related.
Yes, totally.
See, exactly. We're all fam. Yes, we're all family. Great. Dance
great.
Fam.
Dance fam. Oh, hashtag. I love it. That's great. I don't have a cell phone, but I like it.
Yes.
Okay, tell us about Work Dance Company. What is that?
Work Dance Company is a dance company I started back in the fall of 2007.
Oh.
Started with four girls, and now we have 20 plus. And so we've done 12 shows in Eugene. We've done four of our productions in Portland as well. This is our first time ever bringing a show to Astoria. So
minus
it's,
the fact that you have performed at Pride.
Yes.
With
yes.
a smaller cast
yes.
of dancers.
Yes. So I have performed here in Astoria, but never have I brought one of my shows here. So
how many performers did you bring?
I have 20 plus coming.
You do?
Of my dancers.
Right.
And then total, we have over 50 dancers
oh,
in
my God.
The show. So
oh, my God.
It's jam-packed. I mean, usually we have 20 at least on stage at a time. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and lots of sequins, lots of costume changes.
Fantastic.
Work Dance Company alone changes 10 times. So, yeah, we change
our
outfits.
How long is this show? It starts at 7:30.
7:30. It's 90 minutes. So
oh, 90
it's 90
minutes.
Minutes
sounds
of just,
like it's going to be 12 hours.
I know, right? Right. I mean, I jam-pack 12 hours into 90 minutes.
Yeah,
that's
and
what
it's
you do.
So high energy.
Yes.
Like, it's
I
just,
can tell.
Yes.
My
yes.
God.
If you have ADD, you're ready to go.
I
promise.
I'm there. I am so there. So speaking of that, now we just heard one piece of music. What... You formed the company in 2007.
Yeah.
What's your background in dance? And then what were you looking for? What was your
So I
mission?
Went to school for all styles of dance, but like street jazz and hip hop were my two like favorite. So my dance company is infused with, I would say, jazz funk and hip hop and theatrics. I'm a big into like not just giving you a dance, but an experience. I want the people to feel like they are a part of the piece too. So you're not going to like a dance recital.
Mm-hmm.
This is a show. Like you are going to feel like
nice.
You're somewhere else. And that's why I called it enigmatic is mm-hmm. enigmatic. It's mysterious. You don't know
Absolutely.
What's going to happen next. There's a little bit of everything. And so, just like you said, when you're dancing to that music, everyone's going to be on the edge of their seat the entire show. It's just nonstop.
Okay, now I'm holding up the picture that's on the cover
mm-hmm.
of Coast
yeah.
Weekend. What am I looking at here?
And well, that's the whole thing. Is it's mysterious, right?
It's total magic.
Yes.
I have no idea. It's fabulous.
That photo was done by Catherine Gaffney, an amazing photographer. I brought her my vision. I was like, I want black lights. I want paint on their faces. And I only want to see their hands and their faces. And she did an amazing job of,
she sure did.
Of bringing that to life for me.
Yeah.
Now, my dancers had to go through a tough photo shoot that day. So
well,
thanks, Kathy.
What's interesting is when I'm looking at it here, I can see these are human faces
yes.
with paint
mm-hmm.
and human hands.
Yes.
Some are upside down, some are down. But when I saw it first online,
uh-huh.
I had no idea.
Right.
Just a bunch of colors.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, people are calling in because
yes,
they
thank you.
Love what's happening. We want to thank our beloved Jessamine from Astoria
Jessamine!
Who will be on the stage with
You're
us
beautiful.
Tomorrow, too.
Of course. Anytime there's dance happening, Jessamine's
oh,
there.
Oh, my gosh.
Not to mention
the queen.
Teaching.
Yes.
As well. And we have another wonderful KMUN person who loves Carol and Marco.
What?
And when she meets you, Nate, she's going to love you too. And that would be Lisa Smith.
Oh, Lisa.
So thank
Lisa.
You. Oh, we don't give last names, do
oh,
we?
Shoot.
However, we're giving them here because Mary Ann M., the feeder of us all, also loves us both, Marco. Isn't
that
nice?
Oh, my gosh. It's so nice.
You see what you're walking into, Nate? A whole bunch of love.
Community. And that's one thing I love about Astoria.
Yep.
For sure.
So the dancers that you are using, where did you find them? Who are they? Are they from?
All walks of life. You know, one thing I love about my dance company is we're all such different people in our normal daily lives, and we come together and create something really awesome. You know, a lot of my dancers have very different backgrounds and they come from all different walks of life.
So they have day jobs as I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, arts don't necessarily pay the bills all the time.
Sometimes, but not always.
Yeah. But it's a passion that we all share. And that's like the coolest thing is, you know, we walk in at those studio doors and we leave everything else in our lives behind. And we just get to be in the dance world for a few hours and, you know, come together and create magic.
It's the best feeling.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
for sure.
Let's go back a little since we were talking about where things come from. And I read a clip, I'm not even sure where I read it, about how you and Marco met a few years ago.
Yeah.
And what were you doing? You were 15 and you were already dancing.
I was, yes. I was a little mini Britney Spears.
Yes. And so, my best friend Melanie, who I met when Joanne Murray was still living
of course,
here and we had the dance company.
Yes.
And remember when the U of O brought their company out?
I sure do.
So that was kind of when I got invited, like the whole trip to Eugene began from there in 2001.
Right.
And Melanie worked at the Downtown Athletic Club where Nathan's dad worked. And so Nate would always be in there doing the classes and working out and stuff. And
Working it.
And he's one of the most energetic and amazing movers. So it's just,
That's fantastic.
Been fun to watch him like evolve as a dancer and just like, I mean, he's inspirational on the stage, for sure.
Boo-boo.
And
same,
in life.
Same.
No, baby. I'm telling
well,
you.
I have to,
words of a feather.
Know, this is one of the things, though, is that that's why I was curious, because you were quite young. Marco, you're...
He was young, too. Same age, yes.
Yeah, right. some of us know a little better. But when did you even get into dance? When did you
start? I started when I was younger in like the sixth and seventh grade and eighth grade. I was at Maddox, but I got beat up so bad in high school that I kind of stopped doing all of that just to kind of like pull a little more focus away. But I still did all the Scandinavian dancing all the way through.
You sure did.
And then as soon as I went up to, I got the Pell Grant to go to Clatsop after high school. And so I started dancing with Anagita.
Right.
Never
Shout
stopped.
Out to Anagita
yes.
California. She brought us together too. So, and then, but you were older when you went to Eugene.
Yeah, I was. I was 31.
So, Nate, where, how did you just like to, you listen to music and you started dancing around the house?
When
you were a little kid?
Yeah, ever since.
That's how I was,
I mean, and the crazy thing is, until about 15 or so, I was so secretive about it. Like, I only did it when my parents left the house and stuff, and it was just like my own thing.
Wow.
And then finally, I kind of broke out of my shell and decided, gosh, I should do something with this, you know? And so that's when I started really getting into classes and doing all of that and getting professional training instead of just
Cheryl
watching.
Cheryl changed your life.
Yeah, Cheryl. Yes.
So how do you feel about recommending dance for youngsters, boys, girls?
I think across the board, it is so beneficial for people to be in dance. It's great with exercising your brain and your body. It feeds your soul. It just helps with memorization. So many things. Mm-hmm. Teamwork. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Community. All of that.
Absolutely.
It feeds into so many things that I think that it's one of the best things that you could do for your child, you know?
And you know what else? On the other end of the spectrum, it is... studies have been done showing that dance is the best thing for the brain.
Oh, yes. Totally.
And I send that article out to everyone I know. So,
well, they say, you know, people with like Alzheimer's and stuff like that, if you're a dancer, you're
20%.
Yeah, it's like less to have that develop and stuff like that
as quickly. It's like that stays with you when so much else goes. I've done studies with people in hospitals. Mm-hmm. When the music comes on, they get up and start moving.
Oh, it's so
because
beautiful.
Because our bodies have moved. So it we're the lucky ones.
It feeds your
soul,
for
sure. And we're sending it out
sure.
tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. Don't get there at 7:30.
That's when the show starts.
Exactly.
Yes, 7 p.m. you want to be there
for
sure.
Absolutely.
Unless you're VIP.
Go to... Go to Liberty.
There are VIP tickets.
LibertyAstoria.org. That's on the Liberty website, and you can get some tickets there, or you can get tickets at the door. But you know, it's really handy to have those tickets in hand because I'm not working tomorrow night. I'm going to just see the show.
Oh, that's so
yes.
good.
Usually I'm the one taking tickets, right. and I know it works much better when you got them.
You can also go to workdancecompany.com, and there's a link right on the front page that'll Great. Take you to the Liberty page.
Excellent.
Can I give a shout out really quick?
You sure can.
All of my dancers are on the road right now, driving to Astoria, a little Whoa. Bit through the snowy hills.
Oh, gosh.
And I just want to give a big shout out to them and tell them how much I love them and can't wait to see them in about 15 minutes. And thank you all for working so hard on this show. I just have to say, Astoria, you are in for something like no
other.
It's
going to be mind-blowing.
It is crazy.
Yes. Tomorrow evening, Liberty Theater, that's 12th and Commercial. Tell everybody you know, 7:30 p.m., Enigmatic, a dance extravaganza. My guest, Nate Boozer, I don't know where he gets that last name. I'm sure he gets plenty of remarks about that one, too.
Yes.
Work Dance Company. Mm-hmm. They're here from Eugene. Let's give them a good turnout and a good reception, and maybe we can get them to come on back.
Yes.
Our beloved Marco Davis is here, too. Thank you so much for coming
pleasure,
in.
My pleasure, Carol.
And lots of other locals are going to be showing
yep,
up.
Yep, the Triple Moon Dance Company will be.
Oh, great.
And Trixie and the Kerfuffle.
Oh, Trixie
so,
and the
yeah.
Kerfuffle.
Elixir from Portland, Oregon.
Elixir from Portland, yeah.
Are you sure this is 90 minutes?
It
yeah.
is,
okay,
yes.
I don't
he's
know.
Very, he's very precise with his timing.
Okay.
But you'll see
ship.
That reflected in every dance.
Okay.
Because it's tight.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So. Cool.
And we have Graham.
Production
yeah.
value.
Production yes. value.
Well, I just wanted to come in and lend my support for the show and for dance as an art form.
Yeah.
I think the validity of dance and the importance of dance is easily overlooked because people often think that art is something that you hang on the wall. And if you can't hang it on the wall, then it must not be art. And that
yes.
just couldn't be further from the truth.
Yes.
And that dance, you know, when you experience it in the room, people moving their bodies, there is just something that happens, and it's primal, and it goes all the way back with our, you know, with our genetic lineage.
And you know what else? It is never, right? It's never too late to
Absolutely.
Get up and dance because it's in us.
It's
it is. In all of us. So when you hear this music and you see these folks dancing, and I have another dance guest coming on later in the show as well.
Yes.
And, you can tell we're committed.
We are.
We're believers, and we hope you will also. Now, here's how you can support believing is by calling us here
yeah.
at Coast Community Radio.
Yes,
right.
503-325-0010.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much for coming
yes.
in.
Thank you.
So looking forward to seeing
yeah,
you
can't
and
wait to
the
see
show.
The show.
We're
going to
have fun.
Yes. yes.
Okay.
Blessings.
Thanks.
Love you, Astoria.
And I have some music from my next guest. Have a listen to Daymark. And stay tuned to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.
Thank you.
So we were talking about not being able to sit still to the music. That's what's happening now again. I've got three guests in the room. They're all named Daymark. No, not really. That's the name of the band.
The collective name.
The collective name, right. That was the voice of Eric McDonald, with whom I've been communicating. And he is guitar and voice and maybe the communicator of the group. I'm not sure. Are you the guy who sets things up, or it's whoever's free?
We do it all.
You do it all together. Okay, yeah. Lovely. Nice teamwork there. And then I have Will Woodson. Hi,
hey,
Will.
How's it going?
Good. And especially when I learned that Will plays Irish flute and Ilian pipes, my favorite. And if you don't know what they are, he can tell you. I'm not going to try. Dan Foster on fiddle.
Yes.
Now, are you folks from where?
We're from all over, actually.
Even now?
Even now, yeah.
Okay.
We stay in the general eastern region of the U.S., and I live in Montreal, so just over the border.
Goodness.
Yeah, I live in Montreal. Will lives in Portland, Maine, and Dan lives in Connecticut.
Yep.
Although Dan originally comes from England.
Yep.
In Yorkshire.
I thought that there was something weird about that.
I like to be more specific. Yorkshire is the county.
Exactly. You're not even a London speaker.
No.
Okay. And where do you live now?
Connecticut, in the Windsor area. Yeah.
Okay, Windsor. So you had to stay English somehow or other.
It's like the somewhat like the oldest English settlement.
There you go. And are you on tour? Is that what's happening? Because I know you didn't fly out all the way out here just for the one night in
Astoria. Well, we sure would have.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But well, no, we are on tour, yeah.
Well, let us tell everybody first that tonight is the night for Daymark. Yep. They will be at the Performing Arts Center, that's 16th and Franklin. And this is a benefit for the Performing Arts Center. So please be there and please support the musicians. Are you going to have CDs to sell?
Sure will.
Good. Because just today on the air, we were folks were talking about how to support musicians. They sure can't survive on just CDs alone, but they can't survive on travel either. So put it all together. Support the musicians. Also, those of you in this community know how important the Performing Arts Center is for our community. So please show up. Have a fabulous time with this international trio, and they really are, playing mostly traditional Irish. Is that what you're going to be playing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just a mix of traditional Irish dance music, mostly, as well as a number of songs, all from the traditional repertoire.
So it is. Okay. And you do some arranging, I presume, because you have to.
We put a bit of ourselves into it. Yeah, but all the tunes are pretty old ones, and the songs as well.
That's exciting. And gee, what a coincidence that this traditional Irish band is on tour in March.
What could that mean?
Very good, very good. So how long have you been together as a band?
We've been together for, what is it now, guys? About
2 years?
2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Eric and I have been playing music together for a few years more than that, and then would have met Dan at a festival a few years back now.
So I'm trying to figure out, because this does happen sometimes with, especially with ethnic bands, like some of the Balkan bands, too. They're all over the world. But how does Eric from Montreal meet and play with Will from Portland, Maine?
Well, Eric's from Boston originally. And I was living in New York City at the time.
The plot thickens.
Those are both, you know, great towns for Irish music, and I was spending a lot of time in Boston, just around Boston sessions, and that's where Eric and I met, and we were both considering moving up to Portland, Maine at the time. So we did, and we became roommates.
And then really started playing.
Yeah, it was a natural enough.
Until you nearly killed each other and he moved out, is that what?
just about. At a certain point, Eric met a woman, and then they got married, which gave him a graceful exit from the situation, I'd say.
A graceful exit.
That's lovely. Well, I was wondering, because McDonald in Montreal did not sink. Actually, I was thinking it's French-speaking, and McDonald is not.
It's true, although there is actually a pretty strong Scottish population out in Montreal, too. It's throughout Canada, as many of you know, through the
I know. I'm a Nova Scotia
history.
Liver, yeah, actually. Yeah. Big shout out to my Nova Scotia people. Agnes, happy birthday. Bon anniversaire. So you're MC, and does that mean you're Scottish as opposed to Irish? Or I can never remember which is which.
Oh, I think they're all connected. You know, I mean, I guess I suppose there
are
some McDonald's. McDonald originally is Scottish, but some of them went to Ireland and dropped the A at some point. And
okay.
I haven't done Ancestry.com, so I don't know exactly where I sit, but they're all connected.
I'm not so sure they're going to be able to separate those peoples out, the Celts.
Yeah.
So what's the musical background then? Is this your main or your only music, Irish?
Irish music is the only kind of music that I've ever played. I started playing pipes and flute when I was 10.
Wow.
And that's the only...
How did you even know about the Ilian pipes?
Well, I suppose...
Got people going like this?
Yeah, you know, if I would have started playing in the late 90s. I think that was at a period of resurgence for Irish music.
Yes.
And at a time when the sort of instruments that I play were becoming increasingly available and were coming to the fore a bit more.
Yeah.
So for a young kid, finding instruction wasn't as difficult as it would have been even a decade prior to that.
So a lot of the musicians who come here actually started music in school.
Mm-hmm.
And the flute is possible, mm-hmm. but not the pipes.
Right. And the kind of flute that I play wouldn't be taught in schools either.
Right.
It's not the modern classical flute.
So where did you meet the music?
I suppose in my community. Locally, it was in my family a bit as well. I think my parents had a role when I was young in kind of exposing me to it. My great grandmother played fiddle and was still alive, not really playing anymore when I was growing up, but still going a bit. And through that, I think in the way that a lot of kids do, I just kind of managed to find my way into it, just kind of one step to the next, kind of stepping stones.
And it's true that Irish music just. And then it went to Cajun, and then it went back to Irish. And I think actually Irish stays, even if it's not on top, it's always there because we have such a strong population.
Absolutely.
Dan Foster.
Yes.
You're from Yorkshire. Are you playing? How are you allowed to be playing Irish?
Yeah, good question. I started out playing violin, classical violin, from a fairly young age, and I was doing like grade exams. And then I kind of heard the music in a somewhat native environment in a pub session in Manchester, England, which is the northwest and has a very strong scene for the music. First, second generation immigrants living and working there.
Immigrants from Ireland.
Yes, and brought their music over with them. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was sat in a very, lively and quite pure environment for the music. So it kind of stuck with me.
Right.
And it left such an impression that I decided to drop out of law school and do music. Yeah, so
and
it was,
I'm sure your parents were thrilled.
They were like, well, you know, you just gotta go for it then. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was able to pursue music in university. And then specializing in traditional fiddle.
Now, was this still in Britain? Or
yes,
this is
in England. Yeah.
In England.
And then I was naturally drawn to Ireland as a country and was able to score a six-month student exchange semester there. Yeah.
Nice.
So that was that definitely
that
helped.
Sealed the deal.
In a way, I felt like I needed to do it if I was going to try and get deeper into the music that I was, you know, trying to get more understanding if I actually spent some time there.
Yeah.
And I was very lucky there.
Well, I'm thinking that even if you're not a musician, if you get yourself to Ireland, I was spent 5 weeks in the Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
And there is music every single night.
Incredible,
and
isn't it?
Good music.
Yes.
And you just can go from pub to pub and just... some of the folks told us, be sure to buy something to drink, even if it's just a hot chocolate, if you can't handle the Guinness anymore.
Or if you can handle the Guinness.
If you can, even more so. That's a good point. Because the pubs often pay the musicians, not much, but they pay the musician. So you need to pay the pub in that way. And that was an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's quite a good concept. I mean, usually if you're able to carry a tune in Ireland, you'll find a couple of drinks in front of you pretty quickly, or at least seats made for you. Let this guy sit down, he can play. It's kind of a really, it's a really nice environment.
Now let's go to the Boston Scots-Irish, Irish Scot who lives in Montreal, who got seduced to Canada.
Oh, you make me sound so exotic.
Yeah, right. And what's your musical?
I came to the Irish music later on. Traditional music has been, a big part of my adult life, but... I was playing a lot of bluegrass as a younger kid. I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston and studied bluegrass and jazz and played the mandolin. And then towards the end of that, I just sort of stumbled upon New England's dance tradition called contra dance. And that's...
we do it here, too.
It's true, yes. It's true. And I've been out here to play for contra dances as well. So that was my gateway, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a melting pot of a lot of different traditional styles, and I sort of latched onto the Irish, and then found myself digging deeper into that. And, through that, met players like these guys, and through sessions and stuff like
that. It's amazing. I mean, I play washboard. Okay, I'm into percussion, but so I don't get nobody makes seats for me usually. however, the excitement, the joy of the music, and also the connections that you see with the musicians. It's so powerful the way people look at each other, play with each other, play on each other, off each other. It's just a world. So we are thrilled that you are here. They're here tonight, this very night, 7 p.m. Get there earlier. I think doors probably open at 6:30. This is the Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin. And it's got great acoustics. And Daymark with my guests, Eric McDonald, Will Woodson, and Dan Foster. And they will be giving you a night full of Irish music. And they're a good group. I'm having fun with them already. I know you will too. Thank you so much for coming to
KMU.
By the way, have you been on radio? You've all been on radio before.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Once or twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been on this radio?
No.
Not this one, no.
Okay, folks, we're chalking them up. We got three radio virgins. not radio, KMUN virgins.
There you are.
Not anymore, though. I missed it. So they're already old hands. Thank you so much. Folks, please give us a call. We do have some thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you to beloved Lucian of Astoria and to Chuck and Sarah of Astoria. These are old-time KMUN supporters and good friends. And we're waiting for your call, 503-325-0010. If you've ever learned anything about the arts in this community, from this show or any other show on KMUN, call us right now, 503-325-0010. I still have this beautiful challenge grant from Kim Angelis Music. Very, very generous, $300 grant. My show goal is $800. That's in addition to the $300. That's why you need to call right now, 503-325-0010. I'm going to let Daymark move off. Be sure to make... I'm going to try to make a silly pun. Nightmark with them this evening. We'll see you there. I'll be there. I hope you will, too. Thanks so much for coming in.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I do have some... I'm not even sure at this point what I've got. So... I think I have a world premiere for you. For you only. Seriously, this is a world premiere. It's The Hackles, our beloved local, Luke and Katie. Remember, it is International Women's Day today. Have a listen. Brand new album coming up. One other piece was played from this album. This is the second piece ever heard in the world to the public. And then call us and let us know. You love us.
daddy's line with his daddy's name, taught him to be the prince of tents. Vera, she may be a star, as daddy said, but I'd be a liar if I said she was the one who paid the rent. Cause the show goes on, and the rings are filled, and that's a row, and bones are heaped. But you're the one left when they come and go, king of the show. Rock your food and the years were good, the Dobridge did as the Dobridge should. Barkers barked and the band played. Times change and wars begin, lines for bread and lights are dim. The only life to live is far away. But the show goes on, and the rings are filled, and that's a road, and bones are healed. Just take all of it with you when you go, king of the show. Some countries love to crown a king. Found himself a pretty wife, threw a drink right in his eye. Ginger curls, big diamond wedding ring. And the show goes on, and the rings are filled, and that's a row, and bones are healed. And you never can imagine that they.
Okay, folks, how about that? A world premiere by a fabulous group that is local here and, yes, is on the radio at various times. And they are going to be playing at Pickled Fish, but more important, they support Coast Community Radio, and so should you. We haven't reached our goal. We are. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Kim Angelis. We have matched our challenge grant. Thank you to all of you who have called. But we still need more of you to hit our pledge goal. Please call 503-325-0010. Give a gift membership. You will be surprised how thankful, how appreciative people are. By the way, speaking of appreciative, thanks to the Raymond Theater in Raymond, Washington. There is a fabulous show going on Sunday afternoon live at 2 p.m., Six Guitars. And this guy is quite the master, and we have some tickets here. So if you call in with a pledge, or if you've just called in on this show with a pledge, you can get a couple of tickets to the Raymond Theater on Sunday at 2 p.m. Chase Padgett, Six Guitars. He plays in the style of six different styles. So now I love having locals. I have a local, but she doesn't live here anymore, just like so many of our locals. They go away. They come back, though.
Yes, they do.
Yes, and Lisa Sundstrom is here because tomorrow is a crazy day for dance and art. And you heard about the 7:30 event at the Liberty Enigmatic. Now you're going to hear about OBT2, that's Oregon Ballet Theater 2, at 3 p.m., at Astoria High School, and Lisa is going to do one of those speed talks because she's going to tell us what it is and who's coming and what the concept is and why people should come. Thanks for being here, Lisa.
Thank you so much. OBT2, exciting group, dancers from all over the country chosen by national audition, some of them from other countries, Canada, China, Japan, a couple. Wonderful. Dancing with our main company. They just finished doing a full-length Napoli, Nutcracker, and just finished Cinderella. Now we're going on a six City Tour.
Oh, my. Wait, now, Oregon Ballet Theater 2 was here when? When was the last
they
time?
They were here last year at
this
the
time?
High school.
At this time?
It was in
later.
May, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
It was later.
They were gorgeous.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
They really
amazing.
Are. They are amazing.
So these are young people.
Pre-professional.
Pre-professional. Okay.
They are pre-professional. It's a pre-professional group. It's a training program. But honestly, they could all of them be professional.
Yeah.
It's so competitive, yeah. And they're just amazing. The program we're doing, very eclectic. We have neoclassical works, well-known. We've got classical works, well-known. We've got three new premieres, by two of them done by people in the company, Peter Franz and Matthew Pollocky Sinclair, both principal dancers with the company.
Now, you're not doing this tomorrow, though.
Yes.
Oh, you're
kidding.
Oh,
yes. Short pieces.
Oh, wow.
So, three themes is what we're opening with. It's three couples, very sleek, very angular, but classical, going into Sleeping Beauty Jewels, very classical, Marius Petipa, very well-known choreographer, Tchaikovsky music. We go into two contemporary pieces, Belonging and Overtime, which I mentioned before, by Peter Franz and Matthew Pollocky Sinclair. We're doing The Dying Swan.
Oh, yeah.
Which
okay.
is a very well-known piece. It's just a masterpiece for a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a beautiful dancer doing that, Marie Millard. She's going to be a star.
Now, did I get it right? Oh, my God. I'm going to cry. I just got to... I'll read this to you in a minute, folks. Did I understand that you are working with some of the local dance people?
They
tell us what
are
that
opening
means.
Our show, Maddox Dance Studio Dancers and Astoria Ballet. They're coming together again. This is the second time.
Beautiful.
Opening the show. This is what I want to do in every tour city in the future. We're doing it in Olympia. So we're going to Grants Pass, we just finished, Astoria, Olympia, Washington, Hood River, Sherwood, Florence.
Fantastic.
And but in Olympia and Astoria, they're opening our show, the local dancers, something I want to do.
Yeah.
So important.
Terrific.
To bring in local people.
We should mention, when I said that about a local, Lisa grew up here.
I did.
And she grew up as a dancer. And the beauty is she went out, became a professional, and now she's running the show. And she's bringing her dancers here and bringing up a whole new group, combining so that the young dancers here get as inspired as you've been in your life. Now, you mentioned some pretty small places, places like Florence. Do
yes.
they have dance schools in all of these places or no?
There are some in the area there. And we're also performing at Lincoln Center for the Arts. But that's not a public performance. It's just a private one for a school there,
okay.
elementary school.
Okay.
But,
so how can people just show up at Astoria High School tomorrow
yes.
afternoon?
You can get tickets on Eventbrite.com.
On what?
Eventbrite.com.
Oh. Okay.
Eventbrite.
Right.
And $15 for adults,
okay,
$10 for kids.
Yeah, we don't do prices, but it's certainly reasonable. And the idea is to support the dance, the arts, right there. So the show is at 3 p.m. at Astoria High School. And is there a website besides buying tickets? Is there someplace they can look like this OBT?
Yes,
have?
OBT. If you look on the OBT website under the school tab, you'll find OBT2. But all of the information you need to know about OBT2, you can find on Eventbrite because
okay.
it'll tell you all about this show
okay,
and even
good.
The pieces we're doing.
Good. That's
but,
good.
And I know what you need to move on from
yes.
me. And I thank you for having me on. I just want to thank you. And KMUN for what you do for the community and for having me on here, because this tour took off without having any publicity. And in the future, it will be better. But thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to go make my pledge.
Oh, Lisa. Well, let me tell you, that's what community is all about, isn't it?
It isn't. And it's,
yeah.
I just want to tell you this, too,
yeah.
before I go. It's so exciting to see arts in this town. I mean, there's always been a little bit. My mother did civic theater here.
She sure did. Maureen Sundstrom.
You know, but it's just, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
I can't, and I'm going to wait to listen to what this lady over
yes.
here has to say.
this lady over here, Mickey Souza, I just call her Mickey. That's good enough. But she's also working with, she came from Hawaii, but she is definitely part of our community. And now she's working with other students in the visual arts.
That's
so
incredible.
We're all supporting one another. And it's beautiful to me when on this show, just today, here comes Marco Davis and Lisa Sundstrom. Hello. I mean, and from this little tiny town,
yes,
we have these fabulous artists. Thank you so much, Lisa, for bringing the arts, keeping it going, even though you're living away, bringing it back here. Folks, check out eventbrite.com and 3 p.m. Now, remember, you need to be there before 3 p.m. Get your seats. Enjoy this show. That's at 3 o'clock. And then you can go to Art Walk, and then you can go to the Liberty for more dance. Oh, I can't wait. This is my day. I'm so excited. Right. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm going to let Lisa go, but I'm not going to let Mickey go. I'm going to play a tiny bit of music from Seth Walker, who is appearing in concert tomorrow evening also. Seth is at Kala, right here in Astoria. Stay tuned.
Way down in the lowlands where I was raised, out past the line, we paved our way. Red dirt and gravel is all I know, till I made my way where the big trucks moan. Up on the high, taking their toll. Sweet hellos and sad goodbyes. Do I laugh or do I cry? Up on the high.
Seth Walker was here before. He's a fabulous musician. Roots and blues. Every piece on this album is different. He's very, very rich. And you can catch his act tomorrow at Kala, 8 p.m. He's got his new album out, Are You Open? And now my last guest, as you've already figured out who that is. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, Carol.
Okay, now let's get it straight. Pronounce your first name for me, your full first name.
Mickey Alla.
Mickey. Oh, that's easy. Just keep them separate. Mickey Alla, because there is a...
Okina. It's called an Okina. It's sort of a pause.
Okay. In English, it's an apostrophe.
It's a backwards apostrophe.
Oh, no wonder. No wonder I get confused. Mickey is, as I said, one of our fabulous local artists. And she has, are you teaching printmaking now?
Yep, currently.
At the college?
Yes.
Okay. Are you working with youth as well now, or is that?
Yes, I teach art at the Napa School District, so middle school and high school.
And you make art. When do you have time to make your own art?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Well, the good news is not only is she making art, but tomorrow evening during Art Walk, Mickey's going to be showing her art at Imogen Gallery, Voyages and Migrations. And I went over there and saw the work. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I would like you to tell people, because I got a little bit of an insight from Terry. Explained to me what I was looking at. This Chine Collet, what is that?
So so I have 10 pieces in the show, and they're prints, they're original prints, monotype prints. And
original prints means one of a kind.
Yeah, so one of a kind. And it's oil-based ink on paper, and to several of them, I've sort of attached like thin, sort of tissue-like paper. They're all Japanese or Thai papers that I've also printed on, and I've sort of cut them out and made different shapes with them, and they just create another layer on the image.
And then, but when you look at it, it looks almost flat, two-dimensional, but then there's this... I mean, I got close, looked from the side, and I could see something was going on there.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Do you make your print first and then send it back into the...
Yeah, so it's the last layer of the whole process, usually. And so I print on thin, you know, Japanese or Thai papers. And, you know, once those are dry, I cut them out. And I work on sort of the other layers of the print. So that's on, like, heavier, thicker cotton paper. And then, yeah, that last step is sort of attaching that thinner paper on top, wherever I want, and arranging that.
Okay, now the title tells me a little something, Voyages and Migrations, and I was reading some migrations in time, migrations in cultures, in places. What does it mean to you?
Well, it started out as thinking about, you know, migrations of people throughout history and also currently. You know, it's kind of a hot topic in the world right now, you know, migration and people moving and traveling around the planet. But as I was, you know, creating this, I started also thinking about how that overlaps other species too, and different animals and fish and birds. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Hawaii in the Pacific, and, you know, people were historically, you know, voyagers, you know, traveling by sea, and
had to,
those other species were very helpful in that as well, you know, seeing birds at different times and watching patterns of fish and, you know, how things moved around the planet and water and ocean and wind and sky as well. We're all a part of it. So, yeah.
And you've got a particular image in a few of the pieces. I've seen it before in your work. It's not clear. Is it a boat? Is it a bird? It's kind of.
Yeah. It's sort of many different things.
So that's what I'm hearing when you're talking.
Yeah. Then. And kind of how, you know, all these different things can kind of carry us and sort of guide us and, you know, may also be dangerous at times too if we don't really know what we're doing. So
especially talking about the water.
Yeah, and I think it's really relevant to where we live too here, and
absolutely,
you know, being aware of all those things daily here.
Right. And is this work that you've been that you've done recently?
Yeah, so for me, printmaking is, you know, sometimes I, you know, set things aside for a while, but, you know, these are all the most recent prints, and, you know, some of them finished recently, you know, last month or so.
I thought you were going to say yesterday. Okay.
No, not yesterday.
Some still wet. But you've got colors, you've got ink,
yes.
You've got waterways, currents, imagery from, it's not clear, but as you say, Hawaii and here both share that, surrounded by water. So that,
yeah.
Clearly. So you didn't have, you know, some people came from a big city and they moved here and suddenly the water becomes important to them. It sounds like it's been part of your life.
Yeah, so I come from a big city, you know, Honolulu in Hawaii, and it's a big city, but it's also, you know, kind of a small town feel, and, you know, water was a big part, and same like here, and so I guess the prints are, they're loose landscapes.
Well,
landscapes.
Loose landscapes, they're gorgeous.
Thank you.
They're all hanging already, if you happen to be in the neighborhood. Imogen Gallery, and we have a big thank you to Imogen Gallery for renewing their business membership as they do every